We're back on the Farm Show on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. I am visiting with Steve Olson. He's Executive Director of the Minnesota Turkey Growers Association and the Chicken and Egg Association of Minnesota. How's it going today?
Things are going well.
So you've been a pretty busy guy here the last couple of weeks, just catching up with everything going on here as we prepare to do these interviews. And you were at something called the U.S. Animal Health Association. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what goes on there?
Yeah, you know, it's an association, as the name states, and you know, the members of it are state animal health organizations like the state veterinarians and their staff, but it's also industry folks, and there's a number of USDA government officials there. And, you know, they have a variety of committees and talk about animal health issues from a policy standpoint, from a program standpoint, from surveillance, those types of things. And then they, you know, what comes out of their resolutions will be recommended to USDA for incorporation into rules, regulations, or future discussion. So it's a really good organization, especially as we look at how do we you know, continue to improve the health of the livestock, and not only livestock in the traditional sense from poultry, pigs, and beef cattle or cattle, but also from buffalo and cervidae, and just they've got a whole variety of committees that they have some in-depth discussions on.
You know, and that's something we've been hearing a lot of, you know, when we've talked with the pork producers and the cattlemen and stuff, you know, and that one thing I know that's always at the forefront with them has been, you know, if there's an outbreak of foot and mouth disease, that could be a problem. I know they've been asking for a reserve bank of you know, the vaccinations and stuff and what's needed to treat that. I mean, I'm sure that was a hot topic at that meeting.
Yeah, it definitely was. And so those are the types of things that happen from a discussion standpoint. And it's also about building relationships and networking. I think that as I look back over the course of the times I've been going to those meetings in the last 15, 16, 17 years, you know, I built relationships with, my counterparts from other states, but also the other state veterinary animal health organizations, as well as USDA. And so those came in handy when we got into the high path situation we got into in 2015.
Yeah, and it's a great network to have, especially when, you know, like you said, something goes wrong, or, you know, it's nice to see that no matter what livestock is being produced, you know, we're all in this together kind of thing. You know, we have our different interests and our different goals, but when it comes down to it, it's the farmers and the producers of these products that really need the help and need to have the policy and need to have these groups working together.
Exactly, and it's one of those things where, you know, we need to be at the table in order to make sure our voice is heard and to provide input into helping make things better.
All right, and Steve, now we're going to switch gears a little bit. I know you're involved with the State FFA Alumni and Association, and of course the National Convention was just earlier here. And so, tell us a little bit about the experience there and how that went for you.
Yeah, you know, that is one of those rejuvenating times of the year for me. I get a chance to interact with counterparts and the alumni from across the country, but also I serve as a volunteer judge. This time I judge the employment skills competition, which is also formerly known as the job interview career development event. And then one of the proficiency areas this year I did agri-processing. And it's really impressive to see the students and the FFA members that make it to that national level and how sharp they are. Again, it's rejuvenating because it bodes well for the future of this country. Whether they go into agriculture or not, they've got a much better understanding of agriculture, but they're also developing and demonstrating those soft skills that are so important and that critical thinking that we need as we deal with challenges down the road.
And when we look at these things and the generations that have gone through the FFA, when you really look at it, the problems may have changed, the issues may have changed, or how we do things may have changed, but the core values of what the FFA stands for really hasn't changed and can be applied. And maybe, you know, just got to figure out that way to apply it to today's, you know, issues and situations. But really that core message is still the same.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you look back to the history and why it was formed originally was to, you know, provide information and train future generations of, you know, it started off with, you know, primarily farmers, but it's broadened into a lot of different things and prepare students for careers in agriculture, whether it's production or some other facet, natural resource sciences and environmental sciences. And ultimately, again, it's giving them those person development and professional development skills that, again, no matter what career field they go into, it's something that that they take with them. And I think the other thing is the FFA is constantly looking at what does it need to change in order to meet the needs of modern agriculture. And so they're going through a process of taking a closer look at that.
All right, and as we talked to you here this morning, Steve, you know, you're down in Atlanta right now, going through a series of meetings, kind of doing some pre-planning, or how, I don't know exactly how you can explain it, but what are these meetings in Atlanta, and they kind of are tied to preparedness for avian influenza, possibly, right?
Well, and it's broader than that. So USDA has, you know, several divisions within it, and one of them is the Ag Research Service. And so basically this is the entity within USDA that does does research. They have other segments that will provide grant funding for external, like the University of Minnesota, to do research. But in this case, it's kind of their in-house. So the Southeast Poultry Research Lab is based in Athens, Georgia. And so they, you know, every 5 years or so, they'll go through and they'll evaluate their programs. So, you know, in large part, I'm here to kind of learn more about what they've been doing, but they're also seeking input from stakeholders as to what should be their future research. How do they complement what's going on at the state land-grant universities and industry, and kind of what are the future needs so they get a chance to plan that. So it does revolve around animal health, and so it's, you know, it's the, you know, the avian influenza, but it's also some other issues that we deal with. And then it's food safety is another big component to this, and then, you know, nutrition is part of the overall picture that we won't necessarily be discussing a lot at this meeting, because that'll happen in another location. But again, it's an opportunity for us in industry to provide input to USDA, and likewise get an update on where they've been and where they think they need to go.
And now, as you said at these meetings, are there any things coming up that are kind of coming into these forefront with the input that they're saying, hey, you might want to take a look at this for the coming future, or is it just kind of a broad spectrum right now?
You know, it's a broad spectrum. I mean, there certainly are things that we're focusing on. Again, food safety, food pathogens. How do we help? What can we do not only in the processing plants, but also what can we do on the farm to help prevent or lower the incidence of foodborne illnesses? And so we're, you know, that'll be part of the research that goes on. But USDA gets into some of the more basic type of research. Again, that's needed, because then that becomes some of the research that places like the University of Minnesota apply to livestock systems.
So, Steve, as we get ready to wrap up here today, what else is going on?
Yeah, and, you know, one other thing that, you know, with this now being November, we're focused on the National Thanksgiving Turkey. That bird will be coming from Minnesota that is part of the National Thanksgiving Ceremony. Carl Wittenberg and his wife Charlene are the ones that are growing it this year. Carl is the National Turkey Federation Chairman.
That's right. You know, we talked with Laura about that, and it's a great I guess, no pun intended, feather in our cap for Minnesota to be producing that bird. You know, that will those birds that will get pardoned here. And I was trying to explain to my kids what that means for them, and, you know, explain that now they're basically going to have a nice little life of leisure when this gets all said and done.
That's right. And, you know, this year we're engaging some 4-H members. Douglas County, which is where Alexandria is based and where Carl and Charlene live, is the birthplace of Minnesota 4-H, and so we have worked with the local extension educators to identify five 4-Hers in Douglas County, and they competed in a Science of Ag challenge that extension has. But in addition to that, they've also stayed on board to work with the flock that Carl and Charlene are raising, and so they're helping get the birds ready to, you know, for those two that are selected to be in the limelight at the ceremony. We want to make sure they behave, and so it's a matter of getting them used to noise and being held and lights and those types of things.
All right, we'll definitely be following that as Thanksgiving approaches and be able to talk more about them here in the coming weeks. Steve, I thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Dustin.
That's Steve Olson. He is Executive Director of the Minnesota Turkey Growers Association here on The Farm Show. We'll be back after this.